Hey guys, welcome in to Stackin' Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Warriors go to the Intuit Dome for the first time last night. Face the Clippers for the second time. Clippers coming off of a back-to-back for the second time. And the Warriors nice and rested, and it's the same result. Warriors go down and lose to the Clippers by three. Had a chance to get back in it, sent into overtime. A lot of points left on the board, and this is why the Warriors find themselves just really struggling against the Clippers that switch everything on defense. Clippers, where the Warriors are trying to exploit mismatches, and it, you know, when Steph Curry doesn't have it super cooking, team kind of stuck in the mud. You know, we're treading through sand, and it seems like the offense just isn't really firing. And in turn, the defense was pretty good in this one, but just wasn't quite good enough to get the Warriors on the right side of a win. Six straight losses at the Clippers. Again, first time at the Intuit Dome. Man, like, I don't know. Is it the wall? The wall is it's quite interesting, and it seems to have affected other teams. It definitely did not help the Warriors last night, but the Warriors have not helped themselves all season long. Worst team in the league in free throws. You already know that. I believe it's the worst percentage. I know the season's young, but worst free throw percentage by a team in the last like handful of years. Last night, missed 10 free throws, and that was the difference in the game, since the Clippers, I think, only missed two or three. They shot like 90% from the line. Warriors, 10 missed free throws, and they had 19 turnovers, 13 in the first half. And when you trail by 11 in the first half, that pretty much told the story. Got back in the game because we only had six turnovers in that second half, and the defense dug in, showed some resolve, had some room for improvement. We talked about the Clippers three-point shooting very good last night. They shot 47% from three. I think they only made 16, as did the Warriors, but just a much higher percentage for the Clippers. Better looks. I mean, Norman Powell had three or four just wide open from the top of the three, and you just knew it was going in. I've never really felt that confident in anyone other than Steph Curry shooting threes that it's going in, and Klay Thompson for that matter. But when Norman Powell has an open three, especially from the top of the key, last night you knew it was going in. Those last two, there was just no doubt. It's as soon as he caught it and stepped into it, it's like, well, there you go. That's the game. Warriors didn't defend the three particularly well. It was especially against Harden. I know you want to help, and you know that's where you miss Melton, just to be able to kind of handle it in isolation. And Wiggins did a great job. And overall, we did a good job on Harden, but a little bit of overhelp, and that's why Harden ended up with, 16 assists? Helping off the wrong guys also, right? Like, why is Norman Powell wide open so many times at the top of the three? That should be, you know, the weak side corner helping off a little bit, you know, helping off of Dunn, who shot better than he should have, and Coffey, who shot better than he should have, but it can't be Norman Powell. And it can't be that down the stretch when it's just a dagger. So overhelping, let's kind of address it. Jerry Stackhouse, I trust that you're going to hold the boys accountable. And I think we all know that it's been a problem in past years, and it's been much better this year. So let's just call it a relapse and move on, and just say that the defense was good, could be better, and there's a little bit of help back on the way once Melton comes back. Another slow start in this one. Lindy Waters started in this one. I thought he played okay. You know, played 29 minutes, 6 points, five rebounds, an assist. Passed up on a corner three in the last possession. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but it's not, I mean, we ended up getting a shot up by Steph, so it's okay. Lindy, not the problem here. The starting lineup, I think, in general, lacks scoring power. You know, if you're not going to be getting enough stops with that lineup, which it didn't to start at the gate, Clippers were red hot, and there's only so much you can do on defense when a team comes out shooting on fire. You got to be able to generate offense, and really the only engine there is Steph Curry, and he's the only guy that gets buckets. And when he doesn't come out extremely aggressive or just hot, Warriors fall behind, which has happened in the majority of games this season, and now you're playing from behind and hoping that your bench can get you back into it. The bench did that. Intuit, get it? Intuit, pun not intended. In the Intuit Dome, the Warriors bench got them back into the game and got this game respectable by halftime. But again, the turnovers, the missed free throws, double-digit deficit at half. But then you see the starters come back again in the second half. Steph Curry this time makes his threes. I think he hits three threes, and you know everything clicks from there. And the lead got cut to like four or five with the starters in. Defense dug in, really just shut off all penetration in that third quarter. Clippers cooled off a bit from three, which you knew they would at some point. And the Warriors played, as they typically do, a great third quarter, tied heading into the fourth quarter. But oh, wait, no, Coffey is shooting an unbalanced buzzer three from basically the Warrior falling into the Warriors bench, and Buddy Hield hits him on the hand at the buzzer. They review it, enough time to shoot the three free throws. And yeah, the Warriors went into the fourth trailing by three and never came back on top. So that was just like little killer right there, and was the difference in the game to an extent. In that fourth quarter, couldn't really get the stops we needed. We talked about the over rotation, just not being able to defended Harden well, but you know, Powell was getting to the hoop. Just defended Zubac well, but he was getting extra rebounds and finding possessions for the Clippers. So we missed Looney just a bit there. But overall, I thought the bigs did a pretty good job on Zubac and Harden for that matter. But we just couldn't get the stops in the fourth. Norman Powell finished with five threes and 23 points. It felt like a lot more than that. That all being said, Warriors going a little run in the last couple minutes after I think most of us had kind of given up, but had a chance to tie it after Gary Payton rips Norman Powell. Curry's heading back the other way, one-on-one, maybe even two-on-one with about 20 seconds left, down three. You could debate with one timeout left, he should have just gone to the hoop, got the two, brought it to within one. Maybe you get an and one there. You draw the foul if you're creative enough. A little more aggressive to the hoop there. But even then, you're trailing down one with, call it, 17 seconds left. Assume you're fouling. Clippers make their free throws. Now you're back to down three. You advance the ball, and then now the Clippers are fouling you because they know you can't shoot free throws. And even if you knock them both down, you're still down one, and you're kind of playing the free throw game, which I know the Warriors don't want to play that free throw game, especially last night. So I guess I'm okay with backing it out for three. The problem is Steph Curry doesn't attack hard enough so that Lindy Waters in the corner, his defender doesn't really help out enough where Lindy catches in the corner, can probably get up a quick three, but doesn't really look for it. Ends up, I think, swinging to Draymond or ends up, ball back, ends up in Curry's hands, throws an off-balance three up, which you've seen him make a lot of times, especially in that situation, but misses a bit long. Wiggins, Draymond fight for the rebound, save it back to Curry. Three guys around him, goes to pass to Lindy Waters, but it's intercepted by Gary Payton the second, who in his defense, you know, the ball's coming, there's, you know, clock's winding down. You can't second guess yourself. You just got to catch it and shoot it. You don't know if Lindy Waters is even next to you at that point. So it's fine. Payton's shot was online, missed a little long. You live with it. You know, he's made that shot before. We're lucky to have at least had a shot to tie it, but would have been nice to get to overtime and try to eke one out there. So all that being said, Warriors were in it. I think this is the type of game last season where it would have been very easy for the Warriors to kind of give up midway through that fourth once it started to get out of hand. But they show some fight. They show that they're a team that is a tough out on most nights, especially on the road. So we'll call it a learning experience. And what we learned is that in a situation with an all-switching defense, like a Ty Lue team, where they're switching everything, you're hunting mismatches, and also with just not that number two score that, you know, when Steph is not having a going or can't find the right mismatches, that number two is somebody you need to be able to just dump it into and get points. Last night, I mean, it was Wiggins kind of just fighting for offensive rebounding and just kind of getting scrappy buckets, which worked. Wiggins had a great game, 22 points, held Harden to 4-15 shooting. I thought Wiggins was awesome. And we're not going to get into too much, but I would just say I don't want to trade Wiggins. I know his contract and his name's going to come up a lot. I don't want to trade Wiggins. He is maybe worth the contract, but he's just by far our best point of attack defender on the wing and at multiple positions, maybe excluding DeAnthony Melton on guards. But Wiggins looks like 2022 Wiggins and maybe even a little bit better. So I think if he's playing like this, no one's going to be more valuable than Wiggins. He's just that's rock solid at that three spot and just fits a Steph Curry, Draymond Green lineup as well as possible. But that being said, we learned that we need Jonathan Kuminga or just somebody else in a potential trade. I'm not going to go down that road too much, but that's where you need a number two scorer who can get downhill, exploit mismatches, get a smaller guard switched on to him, attack a big who switched on to him. Gotta find ways to get downhill and get some easier buckets and create offense down the stretch. It can't just always be Steph Curry. Draymond Green, I mean, he's a playmaker as a passer, and the Warriors' movement, backdoor cuts are phenomenal. What you see in more of a series as a team plays you multiple games, and a team that's familiar with you, like the Clippers, the Lakers come to mind when we play the Lakers, they know you. They understand all your sets. They know all your plays. They know all your back cuts, the iterations, the variations. When you're not able to just, you know, back cut teams and get easy layups, which won't happen in the playoffs, now where are you going to get buckets? And that's the problem that the Warriors seem to have. They've been fortunate enough to be up enough in games, or Steph Curry's been just heroic in games, but it's like you saw the droughts that you hit last night. I need a number two scorer that can go get me an easy bucket, get to the line, which Kuminga can, but knock down the free throws, which Kuminga hasn't. And I mean, aside from that, you know, Kuminga's almost good enough to be that number two scorer, a poor man's number two scorer down the stretch where he can go get you something and create out of nothing. The problem is on the defensive side. You saw it in this one. The defensive angles he's taking are just killing the Warriors. There were a couple instances. The most obvious one was towards the end of the first half. What was it? Draymond Green turns it over. I think we'd cut the lead to 9 at that point, single digits, which we fought hard to get to. Draymond turns it over. Clippers have, what, like 4 seconds to get a shot off from their own backcourt, inbound to Norman Powell. And Kuminga kind of is like, gambles and takes a horrible angle, try to gamble for a steal, and then he's immediately trailing Norman Powell, and with 4 seconds left just goes right down the middle of the floor and gets an easy layup. Clippers go back up 11 and just kind of deflate any momentum that the Warriors had heading into the half. It's a small play, but it's happening too much. It's the angles, it's the awareness, it's just, you know, his defense, Kuminga's defense has gotten better. You see a little bit more activity and getting a few blocks, getting a few steals, but he's just not consistently staying in front of players enough. Once he's set and in front of them, he can use his length and athleticism. It's kind of on the catch, right? Player catches, especially on the move, and Kuminga just seems to be trailing or out of position. It's just, he just doesn't know where to be when he's guarding and, you know, on ball and then also off ball. It really just starts with off ball positioning. And those are the reasons Steve Kerr's not playing him down the stretch. You know, Kuminga, I thought, you know, was doing playing pretty well offensively. You know, he missed his free throws, but I thought he was getting some good looks and kind of giving us a different look that we needed against this Clippers defense. But you just can't risk him going in there and gambling again and giving up an easy two. It's just, I get it. You're playing Lindy Waters in there at the two rather than sliding Wiggins over and playing Kuminga at the three. And it's surprising because Kuminga's actually spacing the floor okay. As long as his feet are set and he can just catch and shoot, he's been up, you know, above a 36-37% shooter, maybe even better on set feet catch and shoot. I'm fine with him taking that shot. He seems to not be forcing it anymore, and that's been great. And I will live with him being on the floor, maybe not with two bigs, but you know, you can make an argument that he deserves to be in that closing lineup next to Draymond, and he gives you enough spacing to play alongside Curry, Wiggins, and whoever you play at the other guard spot. But he's not in there. And you know, you sure would think that when we're trailing and in a game late, Kuminga needs to be in there. You need some buckets. The other reason I really think a number two is necessary is because look at what Steph Curry has to endure in the end of games, right? He's doing everything on offense. He's either off ball running everywhere or he's on ball, basically attacking matchups. On defense, what the Mavericks, what the Celtics, what the Clippers last night did is you bring Curry into the action, set a screen, and now Curry is having to play point of attack defense. It's what happens in the playoffs all the time. Curry is an underrated defender, point of attack. I actually think he's great. He does not get blown by for the most part. He puts up a very good resistance to Harden, even to Luka, but he does a very good job, even back in the day, defending LeBron in really tough late game, big finals matchups. He holds his own because he's strong and he works hard. But at what cost to his offense, right? You know, you're giving your 100% on defense, then 100% on offense. It's like, how many possessions can you really do this? You know, you're talking 8, 9, 10 possessions in the clutch, both sides of the ball. That's where you need somebody like the Mavericks, where they have Luka, he's tired. Can I just give the ball to Kyrie for one possession and you can just go get us a good looking shot? and just give me a second to breathe. The Warriors don't really have that luxury with Curry just having to do everything. And so when teams are going to attack him late in the game, like they inevitably do, he holds up great. His conditioning is great, but you still need him to be a little fresher to give you more on the offensive end. So I say all that because, I think the situation's staring us straight in the face. It's Kuminga who still has trade value. It's Pajemski who still has trade value, but he's not playing very well right now, guys. I gotta say, he's pressing. His scoring is just, he's a good enough shooter, but he is reluctant to shoot and it's decent shot. He can get into the lane, but it's to be a passer. He doesn't really have a lot of creative finishes because he can't elevate. He's crafty, but for the most part, when he's crafty, he can just find ways to get fouled and he shoots 60% from the line. So, I mean, Pajemski, you need to find a way to score a little bit more efficiently in that mid-range somehow, or you just need a new wrinkle to that game. Hopefully he's just a little out of rhythm from being broken nose, wearing the mask, being sick. But now that that's 2-3 games without the mask and off illness, that's needs to we need to start seeing a little bit more, because your trade value is dropping, your minutes are going to be dropping, and you're one of our winning players, and we need you to, he was aggressive on both ends of the court, but it needs to be even more impact as a scorer, particularly when Melton's out and particularly when Steph Curry's just having to do everything. We need to find another guard and another scorer on the court there. Well, speaking of free throws, just to give a little insights, and I had all the free throw numbers, so I'm not going to really go through it, but I don't know how much better it's going to get, guys. The guys that are shooting the most free throws on our team are shooting about what they typically shoot. I mean, Wiggins is about a 71-72% free throw shooter. It's been his career numbers, and it's about where he's at right now. It was better second half last year, but I don't think Wiggins is better than a 75% shooter, but I don't see that getting much better. Draymond Green, about the same, low 70s, and I think he's what, 69-70%. Same thing, shooting about that number this year. Kuminga, 70% shooter last year or two. He's shooting like 61% this year, and he gets the line a ton, and that's the one that's really killing us, him and Wiggins. I mean, outside of Steph and Buddy, everybody shoots low 70s at best. The bigs, TJD shoots 50%. He only gets to the line a little bit. Gary Payton too, the second, he shoots in the 60s. Everybody we have is just not a good shooter from the line, and I don't see that being fixed. You can spend as much time in the gym as you want, but your career numbers are your career numbers. So with that being said, the Warriors are just going to have to find other ways to win in the margins. You're going to have to accept that we're going to be a sub 75% free throw shooting team on most nights, and you're going to have to make that up with good 3-point shooting and just finding ways to get extra possessions in terms of rebounding, offensive rebounds, steals, getting out and running, all the margins that the Warriors have been great at recently, because the free throws are not going to get much better. The turnovers need to be less than about 16, which on most nights we have been, especially when we're winning. So my answer is clean up the ball handling. There's going to be turnovers because we play fast pace and there's a lot of cuts and just a lot of passes in general, but you got to offset the free throw somehow. So we got to clean it up, guys. Refocus, dig in a little bit. Let's get right in Atlanta, or against Atlanta tomorrow. And, let's just kick their butts, get a little rest in that fourth quarter, and just show that we can get that offense humming again. All right, you guys. I would say it was fun, but it was a learning experience. We needed to get on here after a loss. We can't just keep celebrating. It's time to improve. So this is a good way to do it. And I guess the number one lesson we learned is let's just not play the Clippers anymore. Okay, I will talk to you guys next time. Have a good one. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.